This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
It did happen in the storyboarding phase, you know, a couple times with a couple of our board artists really indulged themselves, and it was pretty awesome, to be honest.
No, it was fun.
But we all knew that even before, you know, we were going to back off on certain things like blood. You know, there's not going to be,
of course,
you can't do any blood, you know, hitting the camera or spraying out of, you know, people's mouths or broken
bones. One of the fights was very MMA influenced, and you're like, whoa, we can't do that. But I really like the sequence.
Yeah.
Right, but we'll style it back just a little bit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 31 of The Fourth Wall. I am, of course, your host, Griffin Schiller, and this is the show where we break down the fourth wall of the film industry as we get an inside look through our conversations with industry professionals, ranging from directors, writers, actors, you name it. This show is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, where you can find the rest of our amazing entertainment-centric content. We're talking about shows like The Playlist Podcast, Deep Focus, Be Real, and so much more. Whatever your fix is, we definitely have you covered over there. Today's episode is a special one because I had an opportunity to participate in an early press day for Disney Animation Studios' Raya and the Last Dragon. And during that press day, I was fortunate enough to screen 30 minutes of the film, to which I was absolutely floored. And one of the big takeaways to me was that Raya is unlike anything Disney Animation has really ever done before. And yes, it can't be understated the importance of the film being the first Southeast Asian story told in the Disney universe, but Raya is through and through an action film, and I think that is something that's going to surprise so many people. The fight scenes are visceral, kinetic. It reminded me of, like, you know, Mad Max meets anime, and like Danny Boyle flares in there, to which we get into throughout the course of this interview with three of the creative geniuses behind the film: Don Hall, Carlos Lopez Estrada, and Cui Nguyen. Don and Carlos served as co-directors on the project, with Cui as a co-writer. Now, Don is no stranger to the Disney Animation family. His previous work for Disney Animation included Big Hero 6 and Moana, for which he won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature for the former. Meanwhile, Carlos Lopez Estrada, you might know because he was best known for directing the critically acclaimed and criminally underseen Blindspotting, and has also had extensive work in music videos. But seriously, his work in Blindspotting was one of the best directorial debuts I think I have ever seen. And I think him coming into a project like this is not only fascinating, but he's able to bring such an interesting perspective to the table that I think ultimately helped the film in the long run. And then Raya co-writer Cui Nguyen is an artistic director for the Vampire Cowboys Theater Company and an accomplished playwright, with some of his work including Viet Gone, Living Dead in Denmark, and She Kills Monsters. Nguyen has also had a successful career in television, working on AMC's Dispatches from Nowhere and The Society. In case you aren't familiar with the project, Raya and the Last Dragon is the 59th film from Disney Animation Studios, and it stars Kelly Marie Tran as Raya in this mythical world of Kumandra, where humans and dragons once lived together in harmony. Sadly, that harmony was short-lived when the Druin, sinister monsters, threatened the land and the dragons sacrificed themselves to save humanity. 500 years later, Raya must find the last dragon, Sisu, played by Awkwafina, to defeat the Druin for good. Now, as I mentioned, one of the big points of emphasis during this early press day was that Raya is an action movie, and it was important for the team to take bold creative swings, ensuring the film stood out from Disney's other animated films, but also felt like part of the family. And Estrada and Hall definitely talked extensively about this and why they wanted to give the action that Danny Boyle kinetic flair that we see in the film. And also, Kui played a big part in the action as well, given his background in fight choreography and whatnot. And they were actually able to bring on real stunt performers to choreograph and map out the sequence to emphasize the authenticity of these incredible fight sequences. Now, you may have heard, but there were some rumors floating around about the potential R-rated violence in the action scenes in this film. But throughout the course of my conversation, I definitely brought this up, and the group was very quick to clarify that that was a comment that was more so made in jest. Yes, some of the storyboard artists early on went, you know, crazy with these insane, you know, super violent images, but it was never going to be included in the final product. So, you know, the biggest takeaway from that was that Disney allowed them to tackle ideas and themes that felt adult and were able to heighten them and whatnot. But it was something that was very universal in that they were able to tailor to children and young adults as well. So we get into a lot of those themes and the importance of this movie, given the times we're living in, and so much more. We actually even inquired with Carlos Lopez Estrada about the rumor that he was developing Disney's live-action remake of Robin Hood, and his answer was a good one. I got to give him credit for how he navigated that question. But listen, guys, this was an absolutely phenomenal conversation with these three gentlemen. A lot of fun, and I can't emphasize enough how great Raya and the Last Dragon looks. Again, I've only seen 30 minutes, but I was blown away, and I can't wait to see the whole thing when it hits Disney Plus on March 5th. But all right, enough from me. Let's get into this conversation. Here is my interview with Don Hall, Carlos Lopez Estrada, and Kui Nguyen.
I mean, granted, we've only seen 30 minutes of the film, but I thought it was like such a substantial 30 minutes that I was like incredibly impressed, because going into it, I thought I was expecting one thing, like, you know, the typical Disney fantasy sort of adventure thing. And what we got was far more, I don't know, like kinetic. It had more personality, and you guys leaned more heavily into the action side of things than the adventure, which is very rare for, you know, animated family films. And so I'm curious, was that something that was like really important to you to get across, to kind of take advantage of the action side of things?
Oh yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think we're all fans of action films, and it felt like we had a perfect opportunity with this one to indulge that. And obviously there's no gratuitous or you know, every scene. I mean, every action scene carried narrative. There was nothing obligatory, you know, we didn't do just the obligatory action scenes. We tried to have them have each a different sort of profile, different flavor, a different, you know, tempo even, and even musical structure. They all are different and all are trying to accomplish different things story-wise. Some are more comedic, some are not comedic at all. and there's everything in between. So I'm really happy that we were able to sort of pull off that spectrum in within just the action scenes themselves.
And I think, Griffin, that what your reaction is really great, because when the three of us joined the movie, that was sort of a thing that we were really looking for. Like, how can we present this film that on the surface probably feels as something expected, something that you may have seen before, you know, an epic adventure film, but how can we give it our own little spin, and how can it feel and sound, the tone of it? It's really refreshing, and we really tried to push that as much as possible. Like, every time that it felt like we were doing something traditionally, we would just try to think of a way to spice it up and to give it a little bit of like a twist, which I think is what makes the movie so feel so different.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, naturally, when you're crafting action for like a family friendly audience, you know, just being adults, we have sort of that nature of like, oh, we want to make this like, you know, some of the great like R-rated action movies that we sort of grew up loving. What's the challenge in backing down and, you know, making something that's a little bit more accessible to everyone, because I read, and I believe there was like a report earlier that came out that like when you guys were sort of building the blocks for this sort of thing, yeah. there were like R-rated versions of certain scenes. And so that just really piqued my interest.
Yeah. I think that got misconstrued a little bit because we sort of said that in jest.
Right.
Really, definitely slightly, a joke.
Slightly hyperbolic.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
as you said, it's, yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as you just stated, like there's a version where you could easily take any action sequence and go that extra step. And it's, you know, like when the joke was you could with this movie easily crank it up. We didn't do that, obviously, because
right. We
knew that all the fights, all the chases, all those action sequences had to complement the story of the film. It's, and everything is integral to that story. Everything derives from story. But with that doubt, we are, you know, people and mischievous people at that. And you're like, oh, well, we could crank that up if we wanted to. You're aware, you know?
Yeah. And you know, it did happen in the storyboarding phase, you know, a couple times with a couple of our board artists really indulged themselves. And it was pretty awesome, to be honest.
No, it was fun.
But we all knew that even before, you know, we were going to back off on certain things like blood. You know, there's not going to be.
Of course.
You can't do any blood, hitting the camera or spraying out of, you know, people's mouths or broken
bones. Well, the fight was very MMA influenced. And you're like, whoa, we can't do that. But I really like the sequence.
Yeah. Right.
But we'll dial it back just a little bit. That said, I mean, you know, there is a particular sword fight in the film that is crazy intense. So despite it being an all audience movie, I don't think we necessarily held back in terms of adrenaline or visceral impact, you know.
Part
of that comes because it's like you care about the characters, really. You know, that's the secret ingredient. It's like I care about this character, and they're going at it. So there's a certain tension with that, and we didn't pull back at all. In fact, you know, it's got some very visceral, the really visceral kind of feel to that particular.
Mm-hmm. Also, just to the credit of the studio, is we. Like some of the themes and some of the ideas and some of the action moments in Riot do feel adult and do feel like they're heightened and they're, you know, they're real. And we thought that maybe we were going to get a little bit of pushback or a little bit of, and honestly, we never once got that note. I think because everything is so grounded in the story and because everything feels deliberate and necessary, nothing's like indulgent. We not once got the note that we were stepping too far or that we were, you know, we had to pull back. It was kind of exactly as we wanted it to be.
Well, that's really reassuring because, yeah, I mean, from just what I saw, I mean, I was already completely invested in Raya's journey. I thought you were tackling stuff that was very mature. And then you paired that with these like really incredibly well choreographed, you know, from an animated standpoint. Well, not even from an animated, because I obviously the behind the scenes stuff you brought in like stunt doubles to kind of like piece together that. And I thought that was so cool. But yeah, it was really visceral. Like I got like, not gonna lie, like especially in some of the wasteland sequences, I got Mad Max vibes. And then it, there were like anime vibes at times. And I was like, this is so refreshing to see from a Disney animated film. I've never experienced anything like this from you guys as an animation studio.
It's definitely our probably most post-apocalyptic film that I think we've ever done.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was important that the world that we're exploring, you know, is under an existential threat and they're hurting, you know, this world is hurting. And, you know, for the story to work, we had to honor that, you know, and that doesn't mean there couldn't still be moments of levity or moments of lightness, you know, within that. But, you know, a broken world was really a huge part of this story. And, you know, we tried not to hold back on that.
Yeah, I am curious what some of your, you know, obviously you do your research in order to authentically depict the peoples and cultures that you want to represent on screen. But like from a filmmaking standpoint, I'm curious as to what some of, you know, the outside works maybe you looked into to sort of, that maybe inspired the film or certain sequences.
I think there's two buckets of places where we drew inspiration. The first one is Do you want to talk about this one, Don? The first one is...
Go ahead, you're going.
The adventure movies that we all grew up watching, Don and Kui in theaters, me and myself on home video, because I wasn't born when these were made, but these were like Indiana Jones, Star Wars, and you'll see a lot of that inspiration in Raya. Like, this is an epic adventure movie, the same scale as those. And then I think the second bucket, which we're also very excited about, and you know, equally as much came from all three of us, is the contemporary edge to Raya. And for that, we were looking at filmmakers like Taika Waititi, like Edgar Wright, like Danny Boyle. I almost called him Susan Boyle in another interview. like Danny Boyle, but we were very much looking at that. So to present a take on this epic that was unexpected and fresh and surprising. And I think that was something that us three like really, really were trying to push for in the music, in the tone, in the comedy, just something that we made like one of our things to go after.
Yeah, that's funny that you bring up Danny Boyle, because that's, I was trying for the life of me to figure out, I was like, this editing feels so different from anything. I was like, what does this remind me of? And I'm like, oh yeah, this is Trainspotting. This is like all of Danny Boyle's like 28 Days Later and all that stuff like that. So that's interesting that you bring that up. Carlos, you specifically, I want to sort of talk about how you got involved with the project, because obviously this was something that this has been in the works for some time now. And I think probably before you came on board, if I'm not mistaken, but you know, what was it that, I guess, and this is for everyone, but what was it that you sort of brought to the table in terms of Raya that enhanced the overall vision? And what was that one thing that you saw in the project that really like attracted you to it?
I came onto the project at the same time that Kui and Don did a year and a half ago. But I at that point, I mean, Kui had only preceded me by joining, I think, Kui had been at Disney for a year maybe when I joined, and by the time I joined Raya it had been like maybe 6 or 7 months, so we were both relatively newbies in the studio, and I think I really like the story. I think what I love the most was the how directly the themes of the movie and the characters directly related to the things that were happening today in the world, and how timely all of it felt. I think us three really share that. And I was also very excited to work with Don and Kui. We had gotten a chance, because we were all part of the Story Trust at Disney, we had gotten a chance to talk to each other, to read each other's work, to look at the other projects that we were developing. And it just became clear really quickly that we clicked in a way that was really special. And you know, from the first day that we got in a room together to spitball ideas, it was just like magic, and we were building on top of each other, and we were getting each other excited, and we were trying to push each other to sort of like think outside of the box in a way that was really, really great. So that was I think in a nutshell how I and Kui joined the project. And I think what we've also been talking about a lot is how, because Don, Kui, and I have such different backgrounds as people, but also just filmically, like Kui came into this from like a stage and a martial arts background. He also dabbles in like poetry and hip hop, I know. You know, Don has been doing animation for a long, long time, and I come from the live action indie world. I feel like our sensibilities are so different, and we really tried to bring each of the things that excite us about making movies into Raya. So I think, you know, the music choices, the contemporary sort of like edit and camera work that I feel like we're also very proud of, these are things that really only resulted because our universes are so different, and they all sort of like clashed in the making of this movie. So hopefully when you see it, you'll identify you know, things from my past work that stand out, things from Don's past work, like a lot of it, and the character work and the themes, like we were talking about it, and this is essentially like companion piece to Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff that Kui brought on. So anyway, I don't know if I answered your question, but I think that we really did try to bring sort of like our own flavor into it, and hopefully it results in an unexpected take on this.
Yeah, no, I definitely get the feel for that. I do have to start wrapping up here with the last question. And obviously, Carlos, your sort of work with Disney is not finished because you're working on the live action Robin Hood, which is the adaptation of the 1973 animated film. And I'm just sort of curious, you know, what your approach is going to be to that film and like how you're going to put a new spin on not only an a legend, but like Disney's version of that.
Did you freeze? Oh no, there you are. I don't know.
Did I freeze? Oh.
No, there you are. I don't know if I'm even supposed to talk about it because that was a slightly leaked thing that is not officially confirmed. I don't know how much I can talk about it. What I can say is that Don Kui and I, not together but separately, are working on our next Disney animation project.
Oh, exciting!
And I don't even know if I'm supposed to say this. Can I say okay? Anyway, I'm.
Oh, why not?
Amy's
gonna come on and like shut it down.
I will not say dates. I will not say dates.
No, don't say dates.
Right. Well.
Their project, everyone just came on, just being like, ah.
Red dot showed up, buddy.
their project comes before mine, and we're very excited because we still get to see because we're part of the Story Trust at Disney. We still get to work on each other's project. We get to still work on each other's project, and Don is really helping me out in the project that I'm developing, and hopefully I'll be a small tiny little voice that gives some thoughts in his stop laughing. So we're just I think Kui and I entered the Disney family in a really exciting time, and the fact that we're all working on new movies I think is also very, very exciting, and hopefully we can talk to you about them soon.
Yeah, no, for sure. Definitely looking forward to that. Well, listen, I've only seen 30 minutes. I know that was stressful for you.
That was amazing to watch. I thank you for asking that question because that was just amazing to watch.
I'm honestly impressed with your ability to sort of get out of that one. I was like, holy crap, is he gonna be able to drop something? This is great. Listen, guys, absolutely enjoyed talking with you all. Looking forward to seeing the full film and hopefully talking to you all about your future projects at a later time. Really, congrats on the film.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, there you have it, guys. That was my conversation with Don Hall, Carlos Lopez Estrada, and Kui Nguyen, three of the creative geniuses behind Raya and the Last Dragon. Absolutely love this chat. Hopefully I get to talk to them again sometime. I love talking with animation people. They're just so entertaining, so lively, and especially with a film like this, it was just, it was delightful. Raya and the Last Dragon will be released theatrically and simultaneously on Disney Plus with premiere access on March 5th. And again, go see it. It's going to be one that I think is going to stand out among the rest of Disney's animated catalog. And I'm very much looking forward to checking out the full thing when I get an opportunity to do so. And if you're listening to this in the future and you've already seen Raya and the Last Dragon, be sure to jump down in the comment section of wherever you're listening to this episode and let us know your thoughts on the film. And also, while you're down there, be sure to let us know what your favorite Disney animated film is. Be sure, as always, to subscribe to the Playlist Podcast Network so you don't miss out on more episodes of The Fourth Wall and the rest of our amazing show catalog over there. Again, Deep Focus, Be Real, The Playlist Podcast. We're getting amazing interviews, great thoughtful film and television coverage over there. So consider subscribing to the podcast feed on your podcatcher of choice. And then also, if you want to go take that extra step and really make our day, it would be amazing if you left us a rating and a review because it greatly helps the show out and it lets us know what you're loving and what you want to see more of. And then lastly, guys, if you like me and you like what I have to say, you can always give me a follow on Twitter at Griff Schiller. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I will catch you back here next time. Take care.